The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So this morning, I'd like to continue with the theme of beauty in the teachings of the Buddha. The beautiful. And the word, as I introduced it yesterday, is kalyana. There are other words that are used, but the one I'm focusing on is kalyana, K-A-L-Y-A-N-A. And one of the things the Buddha referred to as beautiful is the Dharma. And he considered he expressed the idea that it's possible to become established in the beauty of the Dharma. So what is the Dharma? What is this beautiful Dharma that's what is this Dharma that's beautiful at the beginning, middle, and end? It's many things. One of the meanings of Dharma, of many meanings that could maybe get deeper and deeper as we practice, but one of the meanings is actually action, how we behave, what we do. And to be established in the Dharma is to be established in good behavior and ethical behavior and virtuous behavior. In beautiful behavior. And these words like goodness and ethics and virtue, some people are inspired by them, some people are not, some people hesitate around these words for good reasons. But to see them as synonymous with beauty and beautiful places the idea of ethics and virtue and goodness often in a very interesting context or a different kind of situation to see it that way. And someone is established in the beauty or in what's beautiful if they are living by the five precepts. If they don't kill, steal, engage in sexual misconduct, lie, or involve intoxication. And for the Buddha, he referred to that as a beautiful thing. And part of that beauty is it's a beautiful thing to see someone in the world who is harmless, who is in the world being truthful, who's in the world not wanting to harm, taking care to not cause harm. I've met many people like that, and I find myself still to this day very inspired by this, and almost like it's food for me, like it's nourished by seeing this goodness or this harmless dedication to harmlessness that some people have, and dedication to being truthful. And so so I like the word. It's beautiful to see that and be that way. Interesting. The Buddha has this very interesting expression: beauty that transcends beauty. What is beautiful? It's more beautiful than the beautiful. And the beauty that transcends beauty is establishing others in the five precepts. And now maybe we have to be careful with the word establishing so we're not, obligating or pushing or demanding that people do it, but to support other people, to bring forth from inside of them that place of goodness, that place of the ability to act for the welfare and happiness of others. To not cause harm, to let that come to the forefront, to let that be recognized and be an operating principle for people's lives, and to support people in having the subtleness, the connectedness, the sense of self-awareness that allows us to come from that place deep inside that wants to live that way. That, to do that, is the beauty that's more beautiful, or the beauty that transcends beauty. It's interesting, a very interesting little story in the suttas is of a person who comes to the Buddha and wants to define what a great person is. And the first thing the person says is a great person is someone who's really well-learned and who's learned a lot and understands the meaning and the inner meaning of what they've learned. And so someone who's done a lot of study, that's a great person. And the Buddha says, not quite. I have a different understanding of what is a great person. And then the Buddha says, a great person is someone who is concerned for the welfare and happiness of the of others, and who establishes others in the beauty of the Dharma, in the wholesomeness of the Dharma. That is a great person. And we see that over and over again, that the Buddha's emphasis for a wise person, a great person, is someone who is concerned for the welfare of others. He clearly doesn't obligate people to be a great person, but for the Buddha's, in the Buddha's estimation, he sees someone who's a wonderful, great person as someone who is, in fact, concerned for the welfare and happiness of others. And one of the ways to be concerned for the welfare of others is to establish them in the beauty of the Dharma, the wholesomeness of the Dharma. So I said earlier that one of the meanings of Dharma is action. Another meaning of Dharma are qualities of mind, the inner qualities of goodness or truth that's here, that transcends or is beyond Buddhism even. This is why practices like mindfulness, to really connect us to what's here and attentive, we say connects us to the Dharma, but it's not a Dharma that's, you know, someone else's religion or even, you know, belongs to a religion. It's a Dharma that belongs to the heart, to what we discover inside. And this deep trusting and valuing of the capacity of the heart to act well and to be concerned for the welfare and work for others. And that brings us to one of the meanings that many people in our scene, many things that people associate with the word kalyana. And that is, there's a term we use, good spiritual friend. And that's kalyana mita. Mita means friend. And kalyana is what's translated as good spiritual. And the most literal meaning of the word is beautiful. So to have a beautiful friend, to have a good spiritual friend, but the fact the person's beautiful, certainly the person would be beautiful in their ethics, how they behave. But more importantly, they'd be beautiful in their inner qualities from which they come from and they act from and how they are in the world, that we'd recognize something beautiful in them. When we use the word spiritual, it's not really a Buddhist word. It's a Western word. And we often hear in the speaking in English, we assume we all know what it means and we share something. It's a fairly vague word. I didn't use it for many, many years. I was ordained as a Zen priest early in the 1980s. And I had a friend who sometimes got mad at me because here I was a priest, you know, a religious person, and I never used the word spiritual. And it seemed like it was incongruous to not use it. But it wasn't really part of my worldview to use that word, and so I didn't use it much. Now I tend to use it more often, very aware that it's kind of a vague word. It doesn't really specify something unless you explain it. But in terms of a good spiritual friend, I like to use the word spiritual is the fullest aspects of the human heart, where ethics, awakening, freedom from suffering, and caring for others comes together in the same experience. So these beautiful abilities, these wonderful qualities we have, when they get integrated into our being, or the place where they're integrated in the heart, that's what I would like to consider for me, in my definition, spiritual. So a good spiritual friend is someone who has a experience or knows something about this integration of virtue, of goodness, of care, harmlessness, freedom, awakening, caring for others. I really have a sense that this is kind of who they are, well integrated into their persona, their personality. And to have a good spiritual friend, to have a beautiful friend, one of the things the Buddha talked about, the value of a kalyanamita in Buddhism, is someone who supports you in living the Eightfold Path, helps us become established in the Eightfold Path. And I think this also is quite profound. Eightfold Path are eight kind of actions for how we live our lives. They are not beliefs. They're not tenets of what you have to believe or import from someone else. They're actually these practices of what we do. If we do these things, orient ourselves this way, then we'll get the very quickly, hopefully, the results of them. We'll see for ourselves that they're beneficial. We'll see for ourselves the ways in which they bring forth something precious and valuable inside. Maybe we'll see for ourselves that we too have the capacity to act in beautiful ways, in good ways, and ways that bring benefit to the world. That over and over and over again, that as we develop our inner life in beautiful ways, settle ourselves, connect to ourselves, purify ourselves, work through some of the difficulties and challenges that we have, that the direction we're going is to be free enough, open enough, sensitive enough, so that our care, our interest, is for the welfare and happiness of all beings. Welfare and happiness of ourselves, welfare and happiness of others. And so then I'll end with one of my favorite quotes lately from the suttas, from the Buddha, and a little bit similar to earlier. The Buddha described a wise person. Buddhism is often associated with wisdom. A wise person as someone who is concerned for the welfare of themselves, someone's concerned for the welfare of others, someone who's concerned for the welfare of self and others, and someone who's concerned for the welfare of the whole world. And all those different four categories kind of refer to something a little bit different, self-care, being concerned for one's own welfare, is completely valid, important, crucial, so that we know and are in touch with what is the greatest benefit for others. So if we know that for ourselves, the more we can practice and discover for ourselves the greatest benefit, the greatest joy, the greatest happiness, then we understand what's possible for others. Caring for others and not being self-centered is important, and you know, just clearly you see another person and supporting them and helping them. And then caring for self and others. I don't know, maybe we don't know what the Buddha actually meant, but I love the interpretation that self and others means us together, that somehow in the relationship, we have to care for that relationship and care for the welfare of that relationship as well, not just the other person, not just ourselves. And the whole world means the whole collective, the society, how we all work together, the whole, the mutually supportive, interactive, interdependent world that we live in. They were also concerned for all of that, not just my people, not my tribe, but my family, my friends, but the whole world we care for. So that's a wise person, and to kind of repeat this idea of beauty and beautiful, this is something that's quite beautiful. And to call it beauty brings it all into an aesthetic, felt sense, emotional reference point that can be inspiring and delightful and joyful and pleasing and just a great thing to have beauty in our lives. And so may we become beautiful people. May we live beautifully. May we act beautifully, may we speak beautifully, for the welfare and happiness of all beings. Thank you.